What's up, y'all? It's your girl Annabelle, aka Anna Stop at 25, BKA, the undateable chick. But guess what? I'm not undateable anymore because your girl got married. Yes. I've been married now 2 years. I got married on 420 of 20. And let me tell y'all, it's been an amazing journey. A challenging one, but very, very much amazing. And so I just wanted to come back on the platform and just tell y'all what I've been up to because I miss talking to y'all. Your girl dealt with a lot going through her because I, you know, get married and got pregnant. And then my babies had twins. I was pregnant with twins. And baby, when I tell y'all, it took a lot out of me. They did. So I basically did that. Got a little sick. I was under the weather for a couple of months. But I'm back again. Your girl is standing tall. Oh, thank you to God. But I just wanted to get back on the platform to talk to y'all about what I had going on and how my life's been since I got married and since I moved from Atlanta. I don't live there anymore. I'm actually located in Tallahassee, Florida. And, you know, I basically just want to say that, you know, I feel like the Undateable Chick podcast really, really opened my eyes to myself and who I was as a person and things that I had to, you know, basically get called out on by having the variety of people on the show and having different types of opinions when it came down to the dating life, you know, the dating world. And I'm just amazed that, you know, I learned from my own podcast, and hopefully you guys can too. So I just want to hop back on, let you guys know what I've been up to. So not only did your girl get married, I had a set of twins, boy and a girl. I got a junior, and then I got a baby girl named Beatrice. Y'all, she's so sweet and so cute. If you follow me on Instagram, you can definitely see pictures of her adorable self. But since I've been married, it doesn't stop the knuckleheads from trying their luck and saying outrageous things. So, you know, even though I'm married, I still have stories of knuckleheads. Y'all, it's crazy. Let me tell y'all, when I first got here, got to Tallahassee, we moved from Alabama because that's where we were at before. Yeah, this man, y'all, he's a superb A1 person with his company that he works for. So they moved him around quite a lot to, you know, start different stores for them and to train people. So he's an amazing, amazing guy. Anyhow, we moved from Alabama. We was in Tuscaloosa. And we moved to Tallahassee. And I know we were here all of 2 weeks. I had to go back, start, you know, grocery shopping and getting out. The babies were about 10 weeks old at the time. They were some little tiny babies. And of course, y'all know my older kids, my 9-year-old and my 6-year-old. They are getting so big, y'all. They don't look the same from when we first started the podcast. They do not look the same. They are growing into some little women, and I love it. Anyhow, so we're at Costco. That's my spot, y'all. I got a shopping book now because I got so many kids. So going to Costco, and we first walk in, we see this older guy. You know, he's eyeing me, and I'm like, okay, you know, maybe he like what he see, but that's okay. I'm you know, I got all these kids, so he's not going to approach me. Yeah, that didn't stop him. Not only did he approach me, he literally tried to continue taking things out of my hand while I tried to put them in a cart. My daughter, who's 9, is looking at him like, guy, like, why are you like messing with my mom? But she didn't say anything because she's just a respectful girl, and she knows, you know, respect boundaries as far as adults goes. And so she don't interrupt, and she don't engage when she's a child and it's adult business. So I appreciate that, but I kind of wish she had stepped in and said, leave my mommy alone or something like that, but she didn't. Anyhow, so we're walking around the store. Y'all, kid y'all not, I'm shopping around slowly because I'm going off of a list, and it's been about 30 minutes and this man literally talking to himself because I wasn't responding. I just was kind of looking and nodding like, gosh, sir, like, leave me alone. Like, why are you bothering me? And so anyhow, we walk and we walk and walk, and we finally get into checkout. And I go through the line where, you know, the cashier is actually checking you out versus going through the self-checkout, just thinking that maybe with me, you know, being around other people, he would just leave. No, he walks around the cashier and comes over to the checkout area where I was standing at, And she had got, like, he stood there the whole time while she was ringing up. And she looking at me. I'm looking at her with a weird face, like, you know, a weird expression on my face. Because I'm just like, this guy, he won't leave me alone. But it's okay, whatever. I don't want to be mean. And so anyhow, the guy basically pulls out his card and is like, I got it. And so I'm like, no, sir, it's okay. You don't have to do that. He said, no, you deserve it. You're working hard. And, you know, you're taking care of these kids, blah, blah, blah. You're doing it. Those are new babies. And you're out here doing that, whatever. And he pays for the groceries, y'all. And so I was like, okay. It was more of a forceful thing. I didn't get to stop him. Because, hey, saving me and my husband $400. I ain't tripping. So we end up, me and my kids walking over to walk out of the door, and we're giving them our receipt, and he said I just got that for them. I'm like, okay, nobody asked you to do that, and you don't have to tell everybody, but okay. So I go to the car and I'm putting things in, and he's like, let me insisting that he helped me put things in the car. So then after everything gets in the car, he looks at me as if I'm gonna give him my number, and I'm just like, I told you when we first walked in the store, sir, that I'm married. And no, I don't want to give my number to you. No, I'm not interested. And I said it in the nicest way possible. And thankfully, this man walked off with pride. He didn't, like, go off on me. He didn't, like, insist I give him money back. None of that stuff. He just like, all right, I respect that. I try, you know, he said, but you looking real good. And you're a good woman. He's lucky to have you, that kind of thing. And I'm just like, okay. But to the backstory of why I was so nice, that's what I want to discuss today. Why was I so nice when this man was being madly aggressive and overstepping his boundaries in my personal space, and I couldn't say, leave me alone real loud, or, you know, be angry with him so he'll get it? Because a lot of time, anger and being mean to people is the only kind of no people understand. But as y'all know, in particular, women have had it hard to say no to things. A lot of women have been killed for saying no. No, thank you. I'm not interested. Or simply making a guy feel uneasy, or making a guy feel like his pride has been messed with. They killing us. And I can go back into October 2019 when my sister and I and one of my guy friends were out, and we were, you know, dancing and whatever. And me, I'm the type of person, when I drink, I get overly cautious, and I'm extremely nice because I don't want to bump into anybody or do anything that'll, you know, cause somebody to want to fight me while I'm drunk. Because I can't defend myself while I'm drunk, you know what I mean? So that's why I'm overly nice. So anyhow, we're at this club down in Macon, Georgia, the number one dangerous capital of Georgia. It's horrible there, y'all. We are making, and my friend and I, my guy friend and I first, we were out first, and we were celebrating the fact that I had just got a new job. And he's like, he's, you know, we were just celebrating, whatever. And he's, you know, like, God, this guy checking you out. And I'm look back, and of course, I'm not attracted to the guy. So I just like, oh, Lord, you know, I hope he'll come over here, because he literally was staring at me the whole time. So he didn't walk over there. But when I went to the restroom, he started grabbing at my arm. Now, this guy was sitting in VIP, and you had to walk by VIP to get to the restroom. So I was like, no, I'm okay. I have a boyfriend. You know, doing the high-pitched voice. You know, as black women, we got to do high-pitched voices so that we won't seem like we're aggressive. Because, you know, that's just how the world is. But yes, I did a high-pitch, I'm sorry, you know, I have a boyfriend, that kind of thing, you know. And so he was like, oh, man, he said, I could change that. I could take care of you, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, sir, like, regardless, I'm not big on money, because if I'm not attracted to you, it just ain't gonna work out. And let me give you a visual of what this man looks like. This man looks like the guy, what was his name from SpongeBob, the fat fish with the glasses. And he basically was trying to bring food back, and he had the pickles under his tongue. He said that he didn't have no pickles on his sandwich, but he did, in fact, have pickles. He hid them under his tongue. And so that's what this man looks like. And I don't have a thing against, you know, plus size people, because my husband plus size. I love me a thick man, honey, especially when they talk. But, sir, like, you're like 4'11". And you're hefty. You're not my cup of tea, but you're somebody's cup of tea, because he was sitting in the VIP with a whole bunch of women, and he had a ring on his finger. And then come to find out, the woman that he was sitting with was his wife, and then her cousins, right? And so their idea was to try to seek out a woman to have a threesome with them. No, thank you. No, thank you. I don't do fish, number one. But number two, if I did, it wouldn't be with y'all. I'm just saying. And so, yeah. So, anyway, the night goes on. And he's just being mad. He's getting aggressive and more aggressive and more aggressive. So, me and my friend, we moved away from the table. Well, the table we was at to move away to get out of the man's view. So, he'll, like, leave me alone or whatever. So, then my sister comes. She joined us. She's younger or whatever. And she joins us at the bar. And the guy does the same thing to her. But see, my sister not like me. Like, she's completely different. She's going to let you know how she feel. And that's it. Like, she basically told him, not, I'm good. Like, I'm good. But he kept being adamant about trying to, like, talk to her and telling, saying he's going to pay for things. And she's like, I'm straight. Like, bro, like, leave me alone. She had to get loud with him because that was the only way he would understand. And so when she got loud, it got people's attention. They kind of laughed, like, damn, she chumped your ass off and that kind of stuff. And he was like, that bitch ain't chumped me off. She just mad because she broke. She can't afford nothing. She over there with her broke ass friends and her and that faggot. And then he was calling a faggot. He was calling my friend a faggot, right? And so my friend is, he's a gay guy or whatever. And, you know, he wasn't, not saying anything wrong with dressing up as whatever he want, but he just had on regular clothes. He had just came from work. You know what I mean? He looked like a dude. So he said that he thought my friend wasn't going to stand up for himself. And my friend did. Like, look, I might be that, but I get more pussy than you. That's what he told him. And so he got upset, you know, and he kept trying to come at my friend. My friend is just like, I mean, if you have gay friends, you know, like, those are the people you don't come from. Because they're going to book you every time. Like, they're going to have a comeback for everything. You know what I'm saying? And that's how it was. And so my friend wasn't bothered by this man calling him out his name because it's the only thing he could come up with. But sir, you got a crap load of ailments over there. You got heart disease and diabetes and you over there trying to call somebody gay. That's not a big deal, bro. Like being gay and having all those ailments, honey, they don't compare. I'm sorry. But anyway, he kept coming for him. And so anyway, it ended up being a situation where the security put us all out, put both parties out. It was like, y'all not gonna do this in the club. So we end up going across the street to a convenience store, and that is where this man decides to get a gun from his vehicle and open fire on all of us. And once it was done and over with, my little sister was shot 7 times, my best friend got shot 3 times, and little old Annabelle, the gun was pointed at me in my face, y'all. But my wig had flipped off from the scuffle, so he didn't know who I was, which is why I thank God every day for that. But I believe that is why I did not get shot, because my wig had fell off my head and he really couldn't tell who I was. And so when everything was done over with, he was still shooting when the police came. The police had to apprehend him. They should have shot him. Sorry, but they should have shot him because he literally was live shooting. They had to put a gun to the back of his head for him to stop. That's how bad it was. And his only reason, like, why would you do that? They asked him, what did he do that for? He said, because of the faggot and that them bitches act like they don't want me. Sir, what? What? You shoot somebody because they don't want to talk to you? Okay. So because of that, y'all, my mindset has changed. I am terrified of any man walking around that's not my husband, because I feel like if I say no, or if I turn down, if I speak too high, or if I, you know, if I say something they don't like, that at any given point they can attack me. And then it's been an ongoing thing ever since that happened to me. I know it's been happening, but now it's getting news, and, you know, people are seeing more about it. And, like, y'all, this for real happens. It happens for real. So anyway, my sister is good now. She has recovered. And of course, that was 2019, so we're in 2022 now. She's doing good. My best friend, he's doing well, and he's thriving and living his best life. But it's just crazy that women and people who are, I must say, feminine, like, just come, you know, have that feminine vibe around them, how they are seen as useless. And, like, you know, basically anything can happen to us and nobody cares is how I feel about it. And so, yeah, so that's, like, the number one thing I did want to discuss is just about how hard it's been with rejecting people, number one. But then even, let's go into
people badmouth us on the internet. And I'm going to be particular. They badmouth women in general, but they really, really be going in on Black women, like, in particular. We can't do anything right. We can't wear hair snitches. We can't wear, you know, lipstick. We can't get any type of body modification done. We can't do anything without being hated on. And that's just it. And it's getting even worse nowadays because we don't have no protection. Nobody protects us except probably our immediate male relatives, or, you know, we're married, our husbands, you know. That can be give or take, you know what I'm saying, with that situation. But we have no protection. We're literally just out here living our life, you know, not being protected, and just people having all these negative things to say about us. How they assume that we are on, you know, government assistance, and, you know, nothing wrong with government assistance, because I definitely wanted me some food stamps and Section 8 when I was, you know, when I needed it in my life, and I never qualified. So I don't know, like, most of the women I know that are Black women, and I'm gonna just say this, the ones that have, you know, basically has a somewhat decent job, but has more than two or three kids, we don't qualify for anything. So I'm just trying to figure out, where are they getting these, like, if you work a job, it don't matter if you make, I'm gonna say, making $9 an hour, you still not getting the max of welfare or all that stuff. You don't qualify for it. So the mindset that all Black women are on government assistance and all this kind of stuff, it's laughable, because I just know me personally, I was 23 years old and I was in college with a new baby, and trying to get daycare for her. And they said the only way I can get daycare is if I went to a trade school. I couldn't go to a 4-year university. And at that time, I was working as a server, making $2.34 an hour, and I still didn't qualify. So, yeah, I'm trying to figure out what qualifications. They talk about that, so that mindset and that whole little thing is just wild. And then just me and my past working with the homelessness and working with people who are in shelters, majority of people that got those benefits and qualified for them were Caucasian people or Hispanic people. And even that, like, those were the only people that I saw getting it. The Black girls made too much money in that little circle I was in. And then the ones that did get it, they weren't getting the max, like $110 a month. And I'm just like, yeah, so what is that supposed to be doing? But anyway, I digress. I can go on and on about that. So let's go back into me being married now and just how that whole journey was. So, the guy I married, name is Benjamin, and I did talk about him on a podcast maybe a couple times. He was a guy I dated back in the day. It was official dating. It was more like we were both he's in a fraternity and I'm in a sorority that happens to be constitutionally bound, Z Phi B Phi Beta Sigma, you know. So that's how we kind of we started, you know, networking with each other and hitting each other up. We met each other at Greek Picnic a while ago. I don't know when, that maybe 2015-16, can't remember, maybe 2016, I believe it was. And we kind of hit it off, but at the time he was giving me hoe vibes. Like, he was giving me hoe vibes. And as you know, Anna is terrified of hoes. Hoes is dangerous. I don't got time for that kind of stuff. And I really don't have time for craziness. People who get stigmatized and then they want to, you know, because your man ain't nothing, you want to beat up on a new girl that he try to, you know, get or whatever. I don't have time for that. I foresaw all of that before I even started talking to this man. So I'm like, okay, yeah, this ain't gonna work. And I exchanged social media, you know, information. And that's how we just, you know, he would like pictures and stuff every now and then. That's it. We didn't do nothing else. So let's fast forward to 2019 when I started Undateable Chick. Let me tell you how funny God is. I started that podcast, and then shortly after starting the podcast, yeah, I was dating, but I was dating with a purpose. So the people that I was, you know, entertaining, once they give me one red flag, I would leave them alone. And so I became a serial dater. And that's a serial date, I feel like, is somebody who just want to test out the waters. You want to see how is everybody. You have to do it simultaneously because you don't know who's for you if you get stuck on one person. That's just how my mindset was. And so I ended up making a post about black men cheating. And this was the time that Tony had came on the show, and I was just talking about, you know, just wish, you know, men in general wouldn't cheat, but especially black men, because we already got so many stigmas against the black community. And for black men to go out there and do their own women dirty, it's just trifling, you know? That's what I was talking about in the post. And he ended up commenting and messaging me. And I'm like, you know, me and him going back and forth, and I'm talking smart, and I'm just like, this man. But it was something about him that I felt in my spirit that was different. And it went from us just being inseparable talking, like just we talked 24/7. He starts sending me flowers at work and just checking on me throughout the day. And slowly my attention just started getting towards him. But then I'm in the back of my mind, I'm like, listen, Anna, you can't get stuck on this one man because you don't know if he's for you, you know. And I asked God, I prayed. I'm like, look, God, if this man's for me, please show me. Show me what I need to do. I want to walk in your steps. I want to do what I need to do. And God told me that I need to stop entertaining other people. That was it. I had to stop entertaining other people. Even though me and this guy wasn't, you know, official yet, I had to stop entertaining people. And that's just responding to text messages, going out to eat when somebody asked me, all that stuff. I just had to cut it off because I knew what I wanted. I had to walk in that. I had to literally show God that I'm ready for it, you know. And so shortly after that, he basically, my now husband, told me he's ready for a serious relationship. He wants to be in a committed relationship with me. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, like me? Not little old me. And so we officially started dating on his birthday in 2019, y'all. And we were inseparable again. We had our ups and downs or whatever. Ups and downs meaning little small arguments and things that we just, you know, as when you're two individuals coming together, you guys have to figure out where you're going to compromise at. Where are you going to make changes in your life? If this person tells you they feel uncomfortable with you doing certain things or something that you were used to doing, are you going to make those changes to accommodate that person in that relationship, or are you just going to do you? That's what we had to do. And I was totally okay with compromising and making those sacrifices for myself, because the way this man treated me and the way he treated my girls and just, you know, him pouring into me all the time and just having the mindset that I wanted. Like, my mindset is I want somebody who's going to love me, take care of me. Take care of me meaning emotional, physical, in sickness and health. And God has literally showed up and showed out with all of that. And so, anyhow, we made it official on his birthday in 2019, which was August the 11th. And then November the 24th is when he proposed to me. On Thanksgiving in Dothan, Alabama, his hometown. And so we got engaged. We had planned to get married, but then COVID came through and destroyed our wedding plans. But it didn't stop us from going to the courthouse and just doing it the old-fashioned way, which is what we did. We replanned the wedding, and then I got pregnant with twins. And then I got extremely sick, and to the point where I was using a walker my entire pregnancy and passing out my entire pregnancy. So a wedding was far-fetched and was just not obtainable at the time. So I didn't get to have my dream wedding, but that's okay. I'm married to the man of my dream. So that's all that matters, you know? And so I'm at a place in my life where, you know, I'm complete. I feel like this is where I want to be. I'm, of course, grinding constantly because, you know, I want to have financial freedom within my family and being able to take care of my kids and all that kind of stuff for the future. And I'm with the perfect man to do that with. And so I just say this, if you're feeling like you are undateable, unattainable person, meaning that you always have some craziness happening with your dating life, get on your knees. And if you don't want to pray to God, you want to pray to the spirit or talk to the, I don't know, you know, universe. I think that's the term people use now. Do what you got to do. You have to speak what you want and you have to manifest it. Manifest it means you need to put in the work. It's not going to happen for you overnight unless you do something about it. And so the major number one thing is you have to love yourself before anybody else can love you. So identifying those key factors that make you who you are as a person. You want to be able to say, I would date myself before you go out there and start promoting yourself as being dateable. And so I leave that with, you know, I leave tonight with just, you know, positivity, and I'm speaking love on everybody because love is something that is magical. Love is something that I wish for everybody, because it's not saying it's going to, you know, it's the end of the world if you don't have a mate or whatever, but just love in general can change your whole perspective of life and make you appreciative of a lot of things and make you care for a lot of things that you never cared for before. And I'm going to end that with just saying that. Anyhow, I love you guys, and I'm so appreciative of you guys. This is Annabelle, a.k.a. Anna Stop at 25, b.k.a. the Undateable Chick. Also, I want you guys to be on the lookout for the Undateable Chick book. It's coming out. I'll be posting the pre-sale information up online soon. But I want you guys to check it out because it literally talks about my dating life in ATL and then my love life as a married woman. So I want you guys to check that out. Be supportive for your girl. And if you could, go over to IG and follow me on Anastop at 25. Also, I have some businesses. Since I am a stay-at-home mom now, your girl ain't got to work, but I choose to. I have two businesses. I have an Anna's Secret Shapewear, which is an athletic shapewear line dedicated to the petite and curvy body. And we cater to anyone and everyone in between. Also, my business, A-Sharp Food Safety Training and Consulting, which is a company that helps out restaurants and small businesses and in the hospitality field get ready for inspections and things like that. And also, I can get you ServSafe certified in the midst of that. ServSafe certification is a requirement in order for you to work in any type of food industry in any of the 50 states. So those are the things that I do now. So if you want to follow me, you can, and check me out. If you have any questions, my contacts are Instagram, and you can reach me, and my website, www.innasecretshapewear.com. And that's it. One love, you guys, and continue to manifest and talk about what you want in life. Talk about it. If you don't want a boyfriend or a husband right now, let's talk about that business that you want. Let's talk about financial freedom that you want. Let's talk about peace in your life from just being in peace. Because being in peace is just, it's an amazing feeling, you guys. And that's it. You guys have a great night. Bye.